Oh, see, my mind had already jumped to having had murdered the person.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Popular Science's Techathlon, tech news through games, trivia, and usually friendly competitions. I'm your host, Jason Letterman, and playing along with me today are Corinne pulling off a heist with all of your favorite celebrities, Iozio.
I just want everybody to know that Cate Blanchett is awesome to hang out with.
Stan, fast cars and fast money, Horacek.
Still kind of smells like Whoppers in here from last week.
And Sandra flicking a cigarette onto a trail of gasoline and not turning around for the resulting explosion, Gutierrez.
Cool girls don't look at explosions, what can I say?
Sandra, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Ooh, I'm excited.
Let's get started with the Techathlon Decathlon, 10 trivia questions to catch you up on the week's tech news. I'll ask our panel all about what's been happening in the tech world since our last episode. They'll buzz in to answer and get points for each question they correctly answer. They'll also have the opportunity to steal any question that their fellow panelists answer incorrectly, as long as it's not true or false or multiple choice. Whoever has the most points at the end of the game will win a fabulous prize. Let's get started. Question number one is multiple choice. If you use a Windows device, listen up. Microsoft announced that it found two new vulnerabilities in all devices, which could be wormable, meaning a virus or a piece of malware could spread from computer to computer without you having to do anything. So make sure you patch your computer immediately. The vulnerabilities affect how many computers running Windows 10, the company's most recent operating system? Is it A, 600 million, B, 700 million, C, 800 million, or D, 900 million? Stan.
I'm guessing 700 million.
That's incorrect. It's 800 million. It's 800 million. That's how many computers are currently running Windows 10.
I'm really proud of 800 million people that they updated their operating system, though.
Absolutely.
Good for them.
Yes.
Good for them. That's also scary, though, you know, that it affects all Windows versions.
Yes. Don't ignore your software updates. We've said it before. We'll say it again. This is your regular public service announcement.
Yeah, it really does help, and it really makes a big difference. And I'm guilty of doing it. Like, I definitely have a Mac OS update that keeps wanting to update.
And I keep doing, like, oh, remind me tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really.
Maybe try tonight. Yeah, no.
It should just get increasingly passive-aggressive as you put it off longer, or just bigger and take up more of the screen.
Or it'll just start telling you that riddle about tomorrow, like, always coming, never here.
Yeah, sure. No, just, I'll wait. No, go ahead. Oh, that's what it'll say.
That's cool. That's cool. I'll be over here.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Question number two. Many companies hold white hat hacking competitions where they'll pay hackers to reveal weaknesses in their devices. At this year's Black Hat Hacker Convention in Las Vegas, Apple revealed it will pay hackers up to how much money to break into an iPhone?
Oh, God.
Stan.
$1 million.
That's it, Dr. Evil.
I don't know what Dr. Evil is, so no. I don't think that counts as an impression.
No, it wasn't, but like it was the cadence of what you said.
Yeah.
Oh.
The hackers will have to prove they can access the root of iOS without having any action done by the phone's owner.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's going to get it either. I mean, $1 million is so much money. Like, but I guess if you're Apple, it's not that much money.
Yeah. Question number three. For the last year, hackers have worked to defeat Face ID, Apple's facial recognition software and default password on iPhones. A group of researchers at Black Hat revealed that they'd figured out a way to get past it, though, by using a pair of glasses that had been modified in what way?
Man, I have this tab open and didn't read this story.
Oh,
gosh darn it.
You're a failure.
I did not click on this.
No. What could they have done?
I'm going to call time.
Okay. I don't even have
okay,
a joke.
Cool.
Yeah.
I have the full explanation. The short explanation is they covered them in tape. Here's the longer explanation. Face ID looks for blood moving behind a person's eyes, which is what's made it so difficult to get past.
That's why it uses infrared
in
addition to the camera, yeah.
But when a person wears glasses, the iPhone just looks for a black area with a white point. So by placing black tape on top of white tape and cutting a hole in the black, the researchers gained access to the device. However, it would be pretty hard to pull off since it would require putting the glasses on an unconscious person and not waking them up. So, you know, good luck.
Wait, so it would need to be the unconscious person whose phone you were trying to get into?
Correct.
Okay.
You need to find somebody's phone, catch them while they're asleep, make these glasses, put them on their face, and not wake them up.
I'm just going to go ahead and say this doesn't count.
Okay, but If you, the person is already unconscious, then why couldn't I just like open the lids and just unblock the phone? Like, why bother with
it? Will,
glasses?
It will detect your fingers and say something's not right with this.
Yeah, these little weird ed cases are the things. It's like putting on juggalo makeup to fool facial recognition, where it's like, oh, well, we fooled facial recognition. Like, okay, are you going to walk around wearing clown makeup all day? Because, yeah, it does fool it, but it's completely impractical. So congratulations, I guess. Like maybe if you're going to commit crimes or
also,
something.
Also still makes it easier to find you if you always wear clown makeup every yes. day.
Like, yes. I wonder if that guy's up to something yeah. sinister
Never.
Or annoying.
Question number four is multiple choice. Google also made some headlines at Black Hat. Maddie Stone, who works for Google as a security researcher, said that malware developers are now working to break into pre-installed apps to access more devices. Stone was able to show millions of devices had pre-installed malware and said up to how many apps can come preloaded on a device. Is it A100, B200, C300, or D400?
Man, I should have paid closer attention to the Black Hat stuff that was going on
yeah,
this
word.
Week.
Sandra.
I'm going to guess here. I'm going to go with 200 because I am that kind of girl.
Well, it's 400.
Oh, wow.
That's a yeah. lot of crap.
A lot of bloatware.
Yes.
They're talking about Android phones in general, right? Like not
yes.
the Pixel, because there aren't
Correct.
400 apps on a...
Well, that's the appeal of the Pixel,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
is that
yeah.
you get like a real version of Android mm-hmm. that doesn't have 5 million things crammed
on it. Doesn't have Samsung Photos and
yeah.
Samsung
Take out that new Note you just got, Stan.
Yeah,
how many freaking apps are on that thing?
I literally have the new Note 10 Plus in my bag right now, and I'm looking forward to opening it up and deleting a lot of stuff off of it if I'm at all able to.
Yeah.
Before you do it, count the apps and let us know how many there are.
Yeah. I can't imagine it's 400, though. I wonder which, like... It
I wonder
has to
who
be,
bloats that badly.
It has to be, like, the smaller manufacturers that are just, like, you know, a lot of people are allowed to use Android
yeah.
at this point. So there's got to be... There's got to be some small manufacturers that are trying to make their money back in other ways than hardware.
Question number five. Some less depressing news from Google, though. Passwords suck. It's an established fact, and we've even played a game about it. See our episode, Apple's Plus Products, Crummy Passwords, buying the competition for that game. So Google decided it would allow Android users with Android 7 or higher to use what as their password? Corinne.
It's their fingerprint on their phone, right?
It's their fingerprint on their phone. It originally rolled out only on Pixel devices, but by now it may be open to all. They said they were going to release it to all. And you can find the instructions on passwords.google.com to try it for yourself on an Android device.
Yeah, this is some tech that's been kind of brewing on the back end for a really long time, this handshake that allows one device to see another device as a password.
Mm-hmm.
You know, normally we see things like YubiKeys, which I think you've been playing with, right, Sandra?
Yes, yes.
But it's cool to not have to have a secondary thing. It's like, I'm going to have my phone with me all the time anyway.
This is an extension of Windows PCs have had fingerprint sensors in them for a decade.
Yeah.
You know, just like on the computer itself. So mm-hmm. now it's like making that extra step of taking the fingerprint sensor off of the computer and putting it on a phone.
It's not even taking it off of the computer. It's just using the one that's already there.
Right. Yeah. And just not having to worry about the hardware. Because the new MacBook Pros, they have Touch ID.
They've got Touch ID on the touch bar.
And the little touch bar, right?
Do you like the YubiKey, Sandra?
I really like them. Actually, we have a story about it in Popular Science, if you want to check it out, about how to use it for two-factor authentication, which is amazing. You should all do it now.
Check that out, popsci.com. Question number six. Snap rolled out the third generation of its spectacle sunglasses last week. What is the primary new technological feature that the company added to this new model? Corinne.
They shoot 3D video for reasons passing understanding.
Can you be a little more...
No.
I will help Corinne.
Okay, help.
Can we tag team for half
yes,
a point?
Sure, tag team for half
it's
a
It's the second HD camera, right? So
yes.
they can shoot stereo because they have another camera now.
Right.
I know, but... That's what I said. That's literally just the technical version of what I said.
But that's what I was looking for the hardware.
Because they're also doing some other stuff. They're doing AR. They're allowing
right,
you
the
to
second mm-hmm. camera is for the AR,
it's
which
for,
is more
right.
what I thought you were talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, because they're giving you depth information because two cameras allows you to calculate the parallax. Would you like me to talk more?
Yes.
In
let's
way?
Talk more about depth and cameras.
That might be the smartest thing you've ever said,
Stan.
Oh, Stan.
Gosh.
Just the word parallax.
Two cameras means you can do AR, which means you can be more effective when you're putting dog ears on stuff.
Yeah.
whatever it is people do with
kids
Snapchat.
Today. Do people use the spectacles? I feel like they're
Apparently.
Always this thing that I've never seen them in the wild.
It's really interesting that they have morphed out of a tech product almost altogether, because normally you'd expect something like that. You'd see like The Verge, here's our hands-on that we did before. And everybody sort of got the press release at the same time. It was like, oh, new Snap Spectacles, because it's not a tech product anymore. They're trying to make it into, even if you look at them, they're very much like stylish and flashy looking.
Yeah, they look sort of like cat eye sunglasses, like they're very fashionable.
Yeah, and even if you look at, like, the press photos, it looks like fashion photography.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's super stylized. And it's interesting because it dates it so hard to right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, we're going to look back on Spectacle 3 and be like, wow, that's the most 2019 thing that I've ever seen.
But also, in the next year, year and a half, there will be a Spectacles 4. Like, these are meant for the moment.
Yeah. And I think they're sort of leaning into that, which is, you know, and I think Snap, man, every time there's an announcement about Snap, they just keep surprising. People are always surprised that they're doing better than they are.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they're doing better than they are.
Yeah. I'm surprised that they believe people are going to pay $380 for these things.
I think the more expensive they get, the more of them they'll sell.
The more chic. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because the fewer people who are going to complain about the price, you know, the primary reason you buy these is to be like, look at me, I have these things at this point.
Right.
And I think they've just fully leaned into that now, because the first ones were kind of goofy looking, but these are like shishi.
Yep. Question number 7 is true or false. The Sprint T-Mobile merger has hit roadblock after roadblock, but last week, FCC Chairman Ajit Pai finally came forward and recommended approving the merger. Stan.
Well, he's been for it, but now he's called for a vote on it, which is the last step. They haven't done the FCC vote yet, but he's definitely for it.
Yes, yes. He submitted his formal approval as opposed to just saying he's in favor of it.
Right, and so now there's officially going to be an FCC vote, which is the last thing that they have to do before it gets approved. But, I mean, it's a formality at this point unless something really crazy happens. Unless there's like...
Well, so bonus... There's currently a lawsuit from the attorneys general from 16 states and Washington, D.C. to block the merger. Can you name the 16th state which just joined the lawsuit last week?
Oh, they just joined?
Yeah. I bet we could all guess what was first.
Yeah. That's a pretty straightforward one. New York and California are just...
They probably filed... They called
jointly.
Each other across the country and, like, pressed send on the email.
You have to have both keys turned at the same time.
Yes, that's the only way to release it. I'll hazard a...
Go for it.
Illinois.
It's not Illinois.
Cool.
So I might venture to guess that it's not an agricultural state, because some of the states have actually dropped off of this, because Ajit Pai is big on saying we're going to use this to roll out 5G to like rural and agricultural states. And some of those states, I forget exactly which ones it was, but they said, okay, fine. And they've dropped out of the lawsuit. So I'm assuming it's like something where us northerners live, like New Hampshire or something.
It's not New Hampshire. Sandra, you want to take a guess?
Knowing absolutely nothing about, you know, U.S. states, I'm just going to take a wild guess here.
Okay.
Colorado?
It's not Colorado, but you're geographically the closest. It's Oregon.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
But still pretty far.
Pretty far.
I can't believe it took Oregon that long to get on board.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. They only joined last week.
All right.
I mean, I don't know. It's gonna happen. Here comes Dish Network 5G, everybody.
Yeah. This is my dish cell.
Yeah. It's by 20... whatever, it's going to be here, we promise.
Question number 8. A Twitter user named Dorothy went viral last week when she found some creative ways to tweet after she was grounded and her electronics were confiscated. She used Nintendo devices, iPads, and iPods belonging to other family members, and eventually, what particularly cool smart device? Stan.
She used voice commands on her LG smart fridge.
Nailed it. You nailed it. That's it.
So somebody found a use for their smart fridge.
Yeah, finally.
I'm so happy for LG.
that they've had this moment in the sun.
It's a pretty, you know, it was kind of a slow news week and it was like a perfect setting for this to happen. But it's a pretty adorable story because the mom and the daughter sort of go back and forth with the daughter keeps hunting around the house to try and find her phone after it's gotten taken away. And then her mom finally takes away all of her stuff and then she tweets from the smart fridge, which is...
There's no punctuation. It's all lower caps. It just says it's something along the lines of, I am talking to my fridge. I do not know if this will work.
Yeah.
Send.
Send. Yeah.
It's really good. I really enjoyed that part of the news cycle this week, last week.
Question number 9. For the first time ever, an electric vehicle won the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety's Top Safety Pick Plus Award. To what brand does the model belong? And I'll give you a hint. It's not owned by Elon Musk. Oh, Corinne's flirting with the buzzer.
I know.
With the buzzer.
No, I'm sick of feeling like I know and not and Jason just telling me I'm not right. I don't know. GM.
You're not right.
See, there it is.
Sandra.
Volkswagen.
You are not right.
That was the other side of my coin. That's why I kept, yeah.
Stan.
I honestly can't remember if it's Audi or Volvo. I saw it and I went, uh-huh. And then I was like, that makes sense. And now I can't remember. I'm going to say Audi.
You got it. It's the Audi e-tron.
The e-tron, right. I couldn't remember if it was e-tron or e-volt. Man, those cars have bad names.
I always confuse the Audis and the Volvos, too. So
it really, I mean, because they're the ones who are sort of doing it at the moment, at least in that space. You know, those SUVs, those are the ones you expect to get the safety ratings because they're big and dumb and you can crash them into stuff. that car is pretty amazing.
You don't want it to roll.
No, it did really well in the crash tests and also with the front crash prevention, which is why it won the award.
Yeah, I got to drive the e-tron a couple of months ago and it's really nice. I really like it. It's like I have no excuse not to get an electric car once they get cheaper. It's just I have that little hump of like, what if I need to drive 400 miles at once, which I literally never do. So
I think it's well established that you don't venture very far, Stan.
No, I don't want to go 400 miles ever.
No, you've gone on record saying travel is selfish and everyone should stay exactly where they are.
Yeah, just stay home. But I don't know. I'm kind of lusting after one. And now that I know they're very safe and I can crash into all the things that I want to.
Yep.
Or not.
Crash a minute braking. It won't let you.
It won't let you. Question number 10, the final question of the round. If you've used an electronic that's designed to listen to you, like a smart speaker or a messaging app's call function, there's a good chance your call was listened to by a human to review it. Multiple tech companies have announced that they've paused the process, but which tech giant says it will continue the process? Corinne.
It's Microsoft, isn't it?
It is Microsoft.
Yeah, because they listen to Skype for translations, but also Cortana, and I'm not sure why they listen to the Cortana prompts. Do you know, Stan?
I think because no one cares.
Because there's only four of them anyway.
Because no one uses Cortana.
Yeah. There's just one guy shouting swears into Cortana in Toledo, Ohio.
Well, maybe it's because it's the same reason that Google and Amazon do it. So basically it's just to make sure that their AI with their voice assistants is
It's a quality assurance thing.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
They use it to improve products across the company, including speech recognition, understanding a person's meaning, and translation. Yeah. But like Amazon, Microsoft will allow users to delete their recordings.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, there's been one of these stories every month for a year where they find out that there's human contractors listening to voice things. Like this week was what Facebook's, right? Where people found out that Facebook was listening to audio chats. Is that what it was?
Yes.
That's it.
You know, and then people got mad. And then Facebook has so many people doing customer service. Someone emailed them, was like, what about WhatsApp? And you know, the person went back and said, we can't certify phones if they're jailbroken, you know, which is just not even true. Like WhatsApp is always encrypted end to end. So like getting information about if people are listening to you is impossible at this point. So just you have to just assume that somebody might hear whatever terrible thing you say.
Oh, my God.
I used to do this thing where my dogs are adorable, but they're also jerks sometimes, and I'm home by myself a lot. So I kind of thought I was adorable to do that thing where you'd say really mean stuff in a really cute voice to the dogs, you know, because they say it's
you're the stupidest dog nobody
loves you.
Everyone hates you. Everyone wishes you would, you know, go into a pit. And I've literally stopped doing that because I'm afraid I'm going to trip my Google Home. And it's going to hear me talking like that and assume I'm talking to my children in that voice and that the CPS is going to show up. So yeah, it's gotten into my head a little bit about, like, I don't know, somebody's going to hear the things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe don't have a Google Home.
Oh, I like my Google Home. I'm okay with it. If it guides my behavior, I probably shouldn't say really mean, horrible swears at my dogs.
No, well, that's an option too.
Yeah. So it's really made me a better person. Paranoia and fear making us better day by day.
Stan, congratulations on your decathlon win.
What was the score?
The score was 4.5 to 2.5 to 0.
To zero, because hardware is not my thing. I was so ready to talk about Tumblr. But, you know.
But no.
But no.
Tumblr also news. Yeah. Tumblr got sold this week.
Yes, I know. I'm super excited about it.
Tell me more.
Well, it got sold by 1.1 million. And apparently it was 3 million. And it was, before that, it was sold by 1.1 billion. So now WordPress, basically the people who own WordPress own Tumblr, and they're super excited about having Tumblr. And I'm super excited about them having Tumblr.
I mean, the real question, because Verizon/whatever they're called now got rid of all the porn on Tumblr.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Will the porn come back? That's the question everybody really wants to know.
That is the question. Will the GIF porns come back? I'm hoping yes.
Stan, congratulations on your decathlon win. You have won this wonderful green ribbon that says participant on it.
Wow. I will post a picture of it.
It's as if Sandra and I weren't even here.
I'm gonna hand this to you.
If you want to see a picture of it, check my GIF porn Tumblr.
Babymanrampage.tumblr.com. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Welcome back. Last week, researchers discovered that some Canon cameras with built-in wireless connectivity were vulnerable to full-on ransomware attacks in which hackers could lock would-be photographers out of their gear altogether unless they pay a ransom in Bitcoin. Hackers breaking into a camera may sound weird, but it's just scratching the surface of weird gadget security issues in the Internet of Things age.
Yeah, so adding a wireless connection to any gadget provides hackers with like a new angle of attack. So no matter how innocuous it may seem, it gives people a way into your device. In this game, I'm going to present you with a scenario in which an unlikely device gets hacked or compromised. You'll have to tell me if it's fact or fiction while I do my best impression of that bearded guy from Star Trek who hosted a show with basically the same premise. I believe his character name was Captain Spaceship Van Laserbeam, and I wrote that joke expecting it to get cut. But I like it. All right, is everybody ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jason, you get to go first this time.
Okay.
All right, here's your scenario. In 2016, a Bluetooth-connected vibrator debuted boasting wireless control that allowed smartphone apps to turn it on and off as well as adjust its intensity. Unfortunately, the connection wasn't secure and allowed hackers to observe when it was in use and even take control of its operation. Is this fact or fiction?
It got cut from earlier, but you, before you started this game, said, hold on, I have to do this in a specific order, so thank you for giving this to me.
Yeah. Jason, by the way, is the color of a ripe summer plum right now.
I'm going to say this is true.
This is true. Attendees at the DEF CON hacker conference found out that the device sends information about intensity as well as the temperature of the device back to its home base over signals that they could intercept. The hackers could also take control of the device, which sounds rather uncomfortable.
Unpleasant.
Yes. Yeah. So there you go. Don't do that.
Make sure to patch it.
Yeah. Update your vibrators, everyone. Yeah. All right. We'll go to Corinne next.
Okay.
This is about smart refrigerators.
Great.
Smart refrigerators aren't new, but in 2017, hackers slashed their way into a popular model and leveraged the automatic reordering option to bombard customers with unwanted groceries via internet delivery services. Is this fact or fiction?
You know, it's realistic enough that I feel like you made it up.
I did make this up.
Yeah.
While the deluge of unwanted Cheez-Its scenario is fake, smart fridges have had their share of issues. For instance, back
in— Come on, can I jump in and correct you? There's no such thing as unwanted Cheez-Its.
That, yeah.
They are the perfect snack cracker.
That was the giveaway.
Yeah. Just replace it with broccoli, I guess.
No, keep my Cheez-It love. Everybody should know I sing its praises.
Yeah. So when it comes to smart fridges, back in 2015, hackers discovered that some Samsung smart fridges exposed the owner's Gmail credentials.
Mm, which that's not great.
That actually did happen,
oh
which is
God.
Not fun.
Yeah, no.
You get a very long one, so you have to listen to me talk for a long time.
Great.
All right. So it's hard to name a gadget that's worse than a printer, regardless of whether it's hacked or not. And this question is about printers. Over a number of years, a group of devoted fans have been hacking connected printers to spit out messages promoting their favorite YouTube star, a move that has surely confused many not-so-tech-savvy grandparents. Is this fact or fiction?
Oh, if it's not true, I wish it were true. I'm going to say it's true, of course.
It is true.
Yes!
The message reportedly spit out of up to 50,000 hacked printers and urged victims to subscribe to PewDiePie.
Knew you were going to say that.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Maybe somebody should do
that. The fandom is strong.
Yeah. Somebody should do that with Rick Rolling in print version. Like, I would totally do it.
I like that.
There is an
Never going to give you up.
Yes. just you know, you're there expecting your, like, whatever, your report to come out, and then Rick Astley comes out.
And he's never going to let you down.
And he's never going to let you down. Never going to give you up.
He's never going to run around and hurt you.
Nope.
Oh, my God.
One of my favorite tech promotional backfires involved a printer where a company was promoting a printer. I don't even remember what company it was. But they had a thing online where they had a live video of a printer. And if you typed in a message and sent it, it would print. And everyone would see it.
Oh, how could that possibly go wrong?
And I remember watching it. And the very first one that came off said, Weed Lord Bonermeister.
Oh, my God. Of course.
And it was supposed to go into this pile, and then you saw a human hand reach over and quickly pull it out of the live video. And I really enjoy it. It's one of my favorite. I wish I had a GIF of it somehow. This was a long time ago. It was very good. It was the most fun I've ever had with a printer. Jason, giving your child a toy with a connected camera is a risky proposition and probably just a bad decision, but some are worse than others. In fact, in 2017, the German government labeled one camera-equipped doll as, quote, illegal espionage apparatus, and told parents to destroy it if they had one. I'm sure that was very easy to explain to your kids why you were stuffing their doll into the trash. Is this fact or fiction?
I think it's true.
This is true. It was classified as an illegal espionage apparatus by a German government agency, and also Norway called it a, quote, failed toy. The doll's name was Kayla, and you shouldn't buy
that. Was
it.
A
terrible name.
Yeah, that was going to say that was so anticlimactic. It was just,
yeah.
Kayla.
Is it Kayla with a K, like a Kardashian?
With a C.
Oh.
Which is much more suspicious.
Well, in that case.
It makes perfect sense.
All right, Corinne.
Okay. Yes.
Controlling a coffee machine with an app is actually pretty handy. As long as you set everything up in advance, you can wake up or come home to fresh, hot bean water. Unfortunately, however,
That's a really disgusting phrase.
That's what coffee is. It's bean water. Unfortunately, however, in 2019, smart coffee machines are still vulnerable, and researchers recently found out that connected coffee pots act as a doorway into fully connected smart homes and allowed researchers subsequent access to other more critical devices like smart speakers and even security cameras.
I'm going to say this is true.
This is true. Avast and Stanford used a connected coffee machine to break into a network using what they call a man-in-the-middle attack, which preys on the fact that these devices often ship with lax default connection settings and users probably never change them.
Yeah, because they're trying to just have like a super low barrier to entry because there's nothing that is going to piss anybody off more than buying a smart coffee pot and not being able to get it onto their Wi-Fi.
Yeah. All right. So everybody's gotten all of them right. This game is primarily just to illustrate that you are surveilled all the time, and I think we've done a good job of that. Last question. The baby gadget market is a cash cow for many companies, especially now that connected gadgets have entered the fray. In 2017, however, hackers discovered a vulnerability in an app-controlled baby swing that could potentially allow them to override the device's settings and, quote, swing a baby violently enough to potentially eject them from the seat. Luckily, no babies were harmed, but the product was eventually recalled.
Oh, my God. I'm going to say that's false, though.
Wow. You're right. There was no ejector baby swings, but baby monitors, however, are some of the most often attacked devices. Okay, so you're all tied because you're all great at this game, and I wrote a really tremendous game for everyone. So we're going to the tiebreaker. Now, earlier, Jason mentioned a really adorable story in which a girl used clandestine tactics to tweet from her smart fridge. But I don't think any of us own a smart fridge, and maybe we don't have any idea how much they cost. So right now, if you were to go on the internet and try to purchase the Samsung flagship smart fridge, the 27.7 cubic foot family hub, four-door smart refrigerator, What retail price would you expect to pay?
$5,200.
$4,500.
I'm going to say $5,700.
Jason wins. It's actually only $3,899.
Oh, only?
Oh, a
only.
Steal.
Yeah.
It's only twice as much as a really fancy regular refrigerator without a screen on it.
Yep. But how am I going to voice tweet for my regular fridge? I wouldn't be able to.
Jason, your prize is a connected vibrator. I'm sorry.
Let's move on to our final game of the episode. It's an old favorite, Battle Royale. There were a lot of headlines this week about hacking, if you couldn't tell from the decathlon. And Elon Musk is back talking about his brain-computer interface. So each of our panelists chose one real-life body technology hack that they think is the best choice if you had to get one. They'll now have to convince their fellow panelists that their idea is the best and will have a vote at the end to choose the winner. Just as a reminder to our panel, you cannot vote for yourself. So you're just working to convince the other two panelists to vote for you. You'll have up to a minute to make your case. Stan, what biohack did you choose?
I'm a nerd about lenses, as people who know me know. So I have chosen a electronically controlled zoom lens for your eyeball that fits into a contact lens. And that's what I want as a cyborg. So is this? You tell me when to go, and right. I will convince all of you.
And go.
So researchers at the University of California, San Diego, recently created a lens made up of saline trapped between two layers of soft polymer. Subjects place the lenses over their eyes like contacts and then attach electrodes to the skin surrounding their sockets. The setup allowed them to control the shape of the lenses with electrical impulses and actually change the way that they could see. So like blinking twice effectively caused the lenses to zoom in and give the wearer a closer look at whatever they were looking at. This is the kind of cyborg upgrade that I want because it doesn't actually affect the complicated interaction between my eyeballs and my brain. Rather, it augments a body part that we kind of understand. Doctors already use lens replacement techniques in human eyes. So people who suffer from macular degeneration, for instance, sometimes get treatments to put a telescopic lens in their eye to help them see better. With lenses like this one, you could go beyond focusing. So you could do stuff like seeing if you put on sunscreen well by filtering everything but the UV light. Or you could even build your own set of 3D glasses into your eyes by adjusting the polarization. So you don't have to put the glasses on. You could just do it electronically. I don't want stuff hooked up to my brain. I want eyes that work. I want my body augmented.
Got it. Well done. Your minute ran up just in time. Corinne, you're up next. What are you going to be talking about?
I'm going to be talking about an implant called the North Sense that helps your body know when you are facing magnetic north.
All right. Well, your time starts now.
So the North Sense is about a 2.5 centimeter. It's not a full implant. It's more like a piercing. It connects to your skin as opposed to going beneath it. And when you are facing magnetic north, it gives you a little haptic feedback sensation. And I think that this is super cool from an extrasensory perception kind of way. You know, humans, we rely so much on sight and sound. And I think it's so cool that other animals can just feel or know where north is, migrating birds and things like that. And I think this is super duper useful in places like the Urban Canyon when you come up out of a subway station and you don't really know which way you're facing. It's really helpful. Places where perhaps your phone doesn't work. But what is really fascinating is this notion of like, what if I don't have to rely on my eyes as much to locate myself? And that's where you get into the cool daredevil shit, where it's like, if my eyes don't have to be concerned with which way I'm facing, what other cool stuff am I going to start to notice?
All right. And Sandra, what are you going to be talking about today?
Today I'm going to be talking about night vision eye drops.
Ooh.
Night vision eye drops. Well, your 60 seconds start now.
Okay, so you guys were talking about lenses and implants. This is not an implant. You don't have to cut yourself or anything. So that's why it's cool, basically, because I do not like either knives or needles. So basically, this thing is a solution that it's a compound made out of chlorine E6 or CE6, insulin and saline that you can just have basically put in your eyeball, and it will give you a little bit of more red light sensitivity. And that would allow you to actually see in the dark better, recognize forms, recognize people moving,
even collars. So that's great. What's really cool about this is that it's reversible. So basically you can have it in your eyes, then like a couple of hours later, maybe 8 hours, you can have your eyesight back. Apparently it hurts a little bit to have it inserted in your eyeball, but either way, then you will have absolutely no damage. Oh my God.
No, it goes by fast.
It goes by fast.
Yeah.
And I didn't even get to, like, do the whole Billie Eilish joke I had prepared.
You can hit us. Come on. Give it.
No, it just makes you look like a very creepy version of Billie Eilish, and who doesn't want to look like that nowadays?
So it's sort of like you're almost permanently dilating?
Exactly. Something like that. And because you want to protect your eyes from, like, other sources of light, because no one is ever in, like, total dark, you would have to actually wear some, like, dark contact lenses, and that makes you look pretty cool.
Gotcha. I love that all three of them ended up being about vision in the end.
Yeah, that's true. We just hate our eyeballs. Stan, who are you going to vote for?
Man, I really want infrared vision. I think I'm selfishly going to vote for Sandra's because that's the one I want. I want to be able to see in infrared. That sounds so cool.
Corinne.
I'm also going to vote for Sandra's because Stan's, I think, would just trip me out too much. I want to be a bat. I want to see all the things.
Sandra, congratulations. You're the winner.
Yay!
But you still have to vote. So who are you going to vote for?
I'm going to vote for Corinne's North Sense, just because whenever I get off the subway, I'm always like, where am I? And I would really have use for that.
All right.
Oh,
well,
man. If I had that thing, I'd at parties, I'd be like, hey, you know what?
You want to know what way north
is?
That's north.
Get a compass. Check me.
Guess which way is north? I could tell you.
Well, Sandra, congratulations again.
Thank you.
You're
welcome.
My
God, yes.
Thank you all for listening. I hope you had fun and enjoyed this. Come back next week for another edition of Popular Sciences Techathlon. Techathlon is a popular science podcast. We're available on all major podcast platforms, so subscribe wherever you're listening now. And if you like what you hear, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It will help other people to find the show. You can buy our merch, including t-shirts, tote bags, and mugs at popsci.threadless.com. The show is produced by the entire PopSci tech team and me, Jason Letterman. Our theme music is by Billy Cadden. If you have questions, suggestions, or opinions to share, tweet us at TechAthlon Show. Thanks for listening.